to be back in the house of the Lord. It's also good to have my voice back. So let's just bow our heads and ask for him to guide us this morning through the sermon. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you knowing, Lord, that we're not worthy except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're just sinners saved by grace, Lord. We're not nothing big or puffed up, Lord. But Lord, we need you, Lord. We live in a time, Lord, where, Father, many people don't think they need anything. But Lord, we are needy, Lord. We need you. We, as the song says, Lord, we can't even walk without you holding our hand, Lord. I ask God that you'll come this morning, Lord, and just guide us through, Lord, the scriptures, Lord, and this little thought that you laid on my heart, Lord. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. While you're standing, if you could turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. And I want to read the 12th verse. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Amen. You may be seated. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. That word covereth there means to clothe or overwhelm. It's quite outstanding to clothe it. To overwhelm it. And I want to deal with the overwhelming of it. You know, first the thing is to understand what kind of love we're talking about here. Because I've heard people quote this scripture and a few others we'll get to later, talking about love covering sin or multitude of sins. And I've heard them quote it in a way like, like as if it would just hide sin as far as somebody was sinning or something of that nature. If I'm not making myself clear, I trust I'll be more clear as we go along. But I always had a question about this. People would see, you know, you'd see somebody, you know, doing, living wrong, doing wrong. People say, well, you know, love covers multitude of sins. And I've seen, you know, where there'd be somebody that they just, they're kind of openly, you know, doing things that's wrong. And you know, their family will say, well, you know, love covers multitude of sins, you know, and that kind of love there, that's not what this, that ain't the same kind of love. How many believes that Jesus Christ, Son of God, was full of compassion and full of love? Right? The Bible says God is love. You remember the time that he went down to the, I believe it was the pool of Bethesda, and there was all those sick people, lame and halt and blind, and so many different ages, you know, men and women and different, and even children, babies, whatever, down there. And it said the angel would come down and stir the pool, and the first one that would be able to get into the pool when the angel stirred it, well, they'd be healed. And Jesus went down there, walked through all that multitude of people that was around that pool, and healed one man. And that one man, he could get around. He was just a little slow moving. But he wasn't suffering from something that was going to immediately kill him. It wasn't an immediate matter of life and death. If God was full of love, why didn't he just go down there and say, all you sick people are healed, get up? He was full of compassion. Now, what I'm saying is the way we think of love and compassion. The way we think what love and compassion is, why didn't he go down there and just say, all of you are healed? Why'd he pick one man? But you know, when Jesus was asked about healing and the things he did, he said this. He said, the Son can do nothing except he see if the Father doeth it first. Brother Branham says this, and we would see Jesus. He says, the thing of it, he was talking about this very thing that what I just mentioned to you. And he said, the thing of it is, friends, the human mind today without the inspiration of the Holy Ghost don't know what compassion means. Neither do they know what love means. He says, you're talking about natural affection instead of the divine revelation of the will of God. It's not natural affection that covereth sin. It's not natural love. I love my children. I love my wife. But if they do wrong, my love isn't going to cover their sin. Because that's just human love. And it's not talking about human love here. And just like I said, I've had a question about this for years. Because I've heard how people use this. So I'm saying that so you know it ain't something that just come up recent here in this congregation making me preach on this. Yesterday I was sitting and just waiting for an inspiration. I told my wife, I said, I don't know what I'm preaching tomorrow. And a brother, he's been here and preached once before. Every once in a while, he'll text me. And he texted me this scripture. And that's all it said, just this scripture. When I read it, it just stirred up that question I've had for years about what does that mean really about love covering sin? Because I know they also say you can't hide sin. If you got sin in your life, you can't hide it. So what does it mean then? Well, he said, we're not talking, he said, you're talking about natural affection or natural love. He says, instead of the divine revelation of the will of God, godly love, perfect love, will get the revelation of the will of God. Amen. I can do nothing except the Father showeth me first. You know, many times in our understanding of love, we when things begin to go wrong in our life, why sometimes we will think, well, does God still love me? Does God still love me? Well, if you belong to him, how could he ever stop loving you? Now, we're talking about a godly love, but even a human love. If your kid, when your kids do something that's wrong, you don't stop loving them. When your kids need, children need correction, why, you don't stop loving them. Actually, love brings correction. But what if it ain't correction that you need in your life and things are going wrong, seeming like, and you think, well, if he loved me, all these things wouldn't be happening. Remember When Jesus went and healed the blind man, and the Pharisees and that began to question him, and they said, well, perhaps the father or their mother sinned, and that's why he was blind. You know, when Brother Jack Cole, when he got sick with a disease that eventually took his life, there was people that said, well, he got outside the will of God, that's what happened, and God took him off the scene. And that's not what happened. This is the thing. Death can't take you until the Lord allows it. And the Lord doesn't allow death to take you until whatever purpose you were put here on this earth to do has been done. Everyone has a purpose. Friends, even Judas had a purpose. Everyone's got a purpose, and you can't skip out before you serve that purpose. The problem is, some of us, the reason we ain't got the purpose served yet, well, it ain't time. But sometimes the problem is, God keeps trying to direct us towards serving that purpose, and we just keep stumbling around. In other words, the Lord will send us a test, and we'll fail the test. And we know we didn't. Maybe it was how we acted or reacted or something, and we know it wasn't right. Hey, look, I'm preaching to myself here today, too. Many times I look back and I say, oh, man. And it don't take me but sometimes about 5 minutes after it happens to say, ah, now I got to wait for that test to come my eye all over again. I reacted wrong. And, you know, when God sends it, a lot of times it'll be more like a pop quiz. You don't see it coming. It's just there. And I'll tell you what, the only way you'll pass one of God's pop quizzes is if it's just, if you've yielded yourself to the Lord to such a way that it just comes out automatic. You know, one time when I was in high school, I believe I was in the 10th grade, and in English class, we was studying the writings of Shakespeare on Julius Caesar, and I wasn't always real good about doing my homework. I got good grades, but it's just because I sometimes seem like I pull something out of the hat. And I remember one day we walked in, and it was, I don't remember how much time it was, but that you had before the bell would ring for class to start. But I'd already made it to the classroom, and we were going in, we saw the English teacher was telling us, remember your test is today. And we walked in, and I believe it was wrote up on the board, said, there's going to be a bonus for whoever can quote Mark Anthony's speech. And if any of y'all heard it, you know it turns out, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. And so I went in there and I thought, oh my goodness, I have not studied for this test. And I thought, well, I'm going to get this bonus. So I sat down, and in a few minutes that there was, I memorized Mark Anthony's speech. And so when she handed out the test, I flipped it over on the back and wrote out Mark Anthony's speech. And then I went through the test. The only reason I passed that test is because I took a few minutes and memorized that. Now, that worked in the natural. That don't work in the spiritual. But that's the way a lot of times people try to do in the spiritual. But it doesn't work that way. Huh? Amen. In other words, you can't put on love. Brother Branham said somebody will say, I love you. He says, in a little while I'll know if they really meant it. You can't just put it on. You know, have you ever seen people try to put on humility? There's a difference between somebody being humble and somebody trying to put it on. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. You've seen people like that. So let's get to what this means about covering sin. Turn for me to Proverbs 17 and 9. Proverbs 17 and 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now, I looked at that in the Hebrew, trying to get a clear understanding of this verse. And it says to do again or to be repeated. But if I read this in the context of the whole sentence here, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter. In other words, what I see from this, you ain't supposed to go around tell. You know something has happened. And maybe it's between you and them, and you cover the transgression and you're seeking love. Then if you go around telling everybody, then you separate friends. Now, turn with me to Jeremiah 30. I want to read a couple of verses of scriptures there. Jeremiah 30, verse 14 and 15. Now, this is the Lord talking through the prophet Jeremiah to Israel. And if I know y'all have studied and read your Bible enough to know how God dealt with Israel. she was to be betrothed. She was betrothed to God, to Jehovah. But she committed spiritual adultery, constantly bringing in other worships, right? And the Lord called that her lovers. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity. Now, you know what iniquity is. You know, iniquity is not a mistake. Now, I know, I'm not talking about, I know, sometimes people get confused with this and they walk out all condemned. You can make the same mistake. But iniquity is planned. Knowing it's wrong. Multiple. for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. There are times, like when I was talking about the blind man, I want to mention that again before I go on, where they said the mother and father sinned. Jesus said they hadn't sinned. But he said this happened so that the will and word of God could be made manifest. So there's times God allows the things that come our way, and what happens, God allows it because it's going to serve a purpose. It's going to serve something where the glory of God will be able to be displayed through your life. So don't get worried and go questioning when things go wrong, thinking, well, does he love me? That ain't got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with, this is the stage where everything's being acted out right now. We're going to change. That's going to be changed when we go to the next stage or the next phase. This is just the time when these things are to be. And God allows them for the perfecting. But he allows it so that the glory of God can be displayed. Look, he is a healer, but he could never show that if somebody didn't need to be healed. Now, God don't make us sick. The devil does that. But God will allow it and then show, I am a healer. Now, back to this. The sins were increased. That love ain't going to cover that. Why? Because his iniquity and his sins just keep increasing. And that was the thing I had a question about, because I had heard people use it in a way where I'd see sin just kept increasing. And they would use, well, you know, love, you brother, it'll hide sin, you know. You don't hide it that way. That ain't what it's talking about. That's natural love. But it takes the love of God, takes perfect love, a different kind of love to cover sin. Brother Branham says this in Enticing Spirits. He said, what we need today is some fire in the boiler. What we need today is some steam. What it needs today in the church to boil. The hottest boiling thing there is to boil sin out of your life is love. Now here he's talking about love boiling the sin out of your life. The hottest thing there is to boil sin out of your life is love. And if you can't love one another, how can you going to love God who you haven't seen? If he's quoting a scripture, if you can't love your brother who you have seen, how are you going to love God who you haven't seen? Love hides a multitude of sin. Now listen to this. How does that love work to hide a multitude of sin? He said, get in love with God. Then you'll love one another. Then you'll love the church. Then you'll love the cause. Then you'll love everything that's godly. Amen. Get in love with God. You'll love one another. You'll love the church. I'll tell you what, if we get in love with God, there wouldn't be no criticizing how something's run. There wouldn't be, if we just get that much in love with God, we wouldn't be looking at one another's faults. Why? Because that love will cover sin.
That love will overlook the faults, the mistakes. Amen. He goes on to say, now listen to this about love. He said, if you die without God, I don't care how you live. If you die without God, I don't care how you live. Now, before this, he gives an example about how to get to heaven. I'm going to go back and read it. He says, what if I told you the only way to get to heaven, said, here's sets of cars all lined up, and heaven is in Charlestown, we'll say. And we'll say you can't walk. The only way you can get there is by car. And every man that crosses the line must bring in 5 gallons of gasoline. You say, where's he going with that? Well, remember, you got to have oil. So he's just using his example. He said, and here's his car. But if you don't have any gasoline, it won't run. He said, well, that's exactly, see, perfectly the way it is into heaven. If you die without God, I don't care how you live or how many cars you've built. If the love of God isn't there to pull you in to the kingdom of God, you are lost. I'm going to read that again. If the love of God isn't there to pull you into the kingdom of God, you're lost. This is the kind of love we're talking about. When it says love covereth all sins, that's the kind of love we're talking about, the kind of love that'll pull you into the kingdom of God. We're talking about the kind of love that'll pull you right on out of this world. We're talking about the kind of love that'll bring about the body change. We're talking about the kind of love that'll pull us right through the rapture, right up into heaven. That's the kind of love we're talking about. And it ain't just us receiving that love, but that love's got to be displayed through us. Turn me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, that's what we're talking about. That's when we're talking about covering or hiding a multitude of sin, we're talking about this. Not just letting them go and making an excuse for them. I've had people tell me, well, you just have to overlook him. That's just the way he is. That's it. He's always been that way. Well, maybe he needs a spiritual hide busting. Listen, love ain't going to let somebody just keep going in the way of error. Love isn't going to look at them and just condemn them, but love is going to try to reach out and bring them back from the error. How do you do that? You do it by holding it to the word of God, because that's the only way to come back from error. You got to come through Jesus Christ. The only way the sin and transgression can be hid is they've got to come back through the love of God. Remember when I preached one time about the rich young ruler, and I said that it said, and Jesus looked on him and he loved him. What was that? He projected perfect love to the individual. But the rich young ruler said he went away sad. Why? Because he wouldn't receive the love that was projected to him that would give him eternal life. That's the kind of love that would have covered his sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity amongst yourselves. We know charity is love. Have fervent charity amongst yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudgingly. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister that same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now we all want grace extended to us, but how quick are we to extend it to somebody else? This isn't a natural love we're talking about. This is the love of God, that perfect love being manifest through you. That you have that love, then you can project that love. And remember the prophet said, when love projects, grace takes over. Hallelujah. Whew. I want to read you a couple things. He said, we're not the judge. God is the judge. And you want that poor fellow to be cast away, would you? Certainly not. No matter who they are, you wouldn't want that. So try to be kind to them. And love hides a multitude of sin. Yes, sir. Love, just that good Christian godly love. If a man comes up and calls you a holy roller or some kind of name, and you and see now, if you can't act right, if you can't act like it, just walk away. Don't say nothing. He said, but in your heart, you should be to a place where you could say, well, perhaps, brother, if you understood it the way I do, you'd feel like I do about it, see? And just be real sweet to him and let go ahead like that. Even though we may differ as far as the east is from the west, that don't make any difference. I've seen some people witnessing, and if they can't persuade the individual to see what they're saying, then they walk away saying, well, you're just going to hell. You know? Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. I'll tell you what. There was a story was told me, it's a true story. It was told me that there was a brother, he went to this funeral of these men and their mother had died. And this brother went to the funeral and he got there and he told them, well, your mother's in hell right now. Some of y'all laughing because you know who the brother was. But you know what? You shouldn't do that. First of all, you ain't God. You're not the judge. I'll tell you this. Somebody, now, listen to this. Brother Leo had an uncle, an aunt lived out there at the head of the Dillon Road right out there close. And as far as I know, his whole life, Ross chewed tobacco. And he didn't, I'd never known him really to go to church. Now somebody didn't know nothing, you know, then Ross, he got down sick where he was in a bed in the living room. And somebody didn't know any different. They could walk in to the funeral and said, well, he didn't even go to church or nothing. He's lost. But I know different. Because Brother Leo took me up there. Because Ross had asked for me. Amen. And he said, bring your preacher up here. He said, I don't trust none of the rest of these other preachers. Amen. Now you say, why did he trust you? Did you talk to him about the word of God? No, I just went up there and sat on the porch with him. I went up there and just sat on the porch with him. Treated him kind, treated him nice. And I just loved them. They was just real humble, simple people. And that's why when it come down to that time, he called for me. Because I didn't go up there talking a bunch of stuff to him and everything else. What did I do? I was kind to him and I displayed love to him. And he said, when it's time to cross over, he said, I don't want nothing hindering me between me and God of me crossing over. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, laying right there in that bed in the living room. And so did his wife. Hallelujah. Right up there in that living room. Now somebody can walk in there and say, well, I never know them to go to church. I never know them to do this. Well, you know what? They ain't their judge. Amen. I know he made it right. Yes, I know he accepted the Lord as his Savior.
Amen.
I know he's not lost.
That's good.
Why? Remember what the prophet said? He said, if you die without God, I don't care what kind of life you lived. If love isn't there to pull you into heaven, said you're lost. Well, why did I say that Ross and Margaret ain't lost? Because love pulled them into heaven. Love being displayed. Just going up there and loving them with the love of God. What did it do? It pulled them into heaven. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. He says here in Satan's Eden said, if there's sin in your heart or if there's a fault in your heart, if you got anything, pray now and ask God to forgive you. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. God bless you is my prayer. And he starts singing, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. Do you love one another? He said, John said, little children, love one another. Love one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Now let's shake one another's hands. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet. Now, be kind to one another. Be kind to everybody. Treat your neighbor right. Keep yourself unspotted till Jesus comes. Amen. How are we going to keep ourselves unspotted till Jesus comes? Letting love be projected through us toward one another. That's what he said. That's how we keep unspotted. Whew. I'll tell you what. Ain't no wonder. Ain't no wonder the capstone was love. Hallelujah. The capstone was love. And what did I read you earlier? He said, Without the Holy Spirit, you couldn't even understand that love. Amen. How many of you've seen the drawing of the pyramid and the virtues as they're listed in there? And what laid right between? That capstone was coming down, but it hadn't set down on that pyramid yet. What was right between there? Love was a capstone. Right between was wrote the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't put on this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what we need. We need perfect love. Perfect love. Perfect love will cast out fear. Perfect love will cast out all strife. Perfect love will cast out all criticizing, all gossip. Perfect love. Hallelujah. And it'll obliterate sin. Hallelujah. You remember in the Bible, reading about Adam and Eve, and how when God called out to Adam, when Adam come out, Adam was trying to cover his sin. He had tried to cover it himself. They were trying to clothe themselves. Remember what I read to you? That word covereth, we read it at the beginning. It said, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. And I told you that covereth there meant to overwhelm or to clothe. So they were trying to clothe themselves with fig leaves. But it didn't work. That wasn't going to work. Why? They needed something that wouldn't just be just a covering, but something that would give them a way back from sin. Not something just to cover it up and let it stay there. But they needed a way to be redeemed from it. And so as a type and figure, God slayed a lamb and gave them the skins to put on. Brother Branham describing that, he says, I can hear him. He said, I can hear him. After he had said, ground will be cursed, and told the serpent, said, you'll crawl on your belly from now on. He said, and I can hear Adam and Eve beginning to walk out. He said, and I hear. He said, what is it? He said, it was them skins that was beating against the sides of their legs. And he said, and the blood was running down their legs. And he said, but let me read this to you. He said, and then God looked at him. God, the whole universe, I can see it begin to come down like a funnel. Come down to one little thing with four letters. L-O-V-E. He couldn't just let him go. He loved him so well till he couldn't just see him go. He said, I'll put enmity between her seed and the serpent's seed. And he said, the serpent's seed will bruise his heel. And he said, her seed will crush the very head. It'll crush the very head of sin. How many's ever killed a snake before? You cut that thing back around the back by the tail or something, it ain't gonna stop him. You can cut the rattle off a rattler and you'll still get bit. Only way to kill the snake is you got to cut the head off of it. You got to go to the root. You got to go to what's causing everything. Amen. When you're looking at, friends, listen, when the Lord is having me deal with something as a pastor to the sheep, I can't go just treating all these different symptoms I see. You got to get down to the root of it. What's down at the very bottom, the root, what's causing it? And I'll tell you something, the love of God will want it. Listen, friends, human love, I'll tell you what, I sat there, I'd love to just do it for them, but I can't. The Bible says, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. I'd love to just take up for them. I'd love to just do it for them. But godly love will point them right down to the root of it and say, you get this right here. You deal with this right here and get this right, and all the rest of that will go away. Hallelujah. What's the root of it? There's a devil somewhere. There's a devil somewhere. And if you want to get rid of it, you're going to have to cut the head off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, listen to this. I just love this. He said, God, the whole universe, I can see it begin to come down like a funnel, come down to one little thing with four letters, L-O-V-E. He couldn't just see them go. He said, I'll put enmity between her seed and the serpent seed. And that clumping of the sheepskin, that bloody beating against Eve and Adam as they went out of the Garden of Eden, there was the blood of the Son of God beating against his legs as he went to Calvary yonder with our sins upon him. And the blood beating from his body carried up yonder into Calvary. God had to kill something for there to be a covering to cover the sin in the garden. God had to kill something to make a religion. God had to kill something on Calvary, his own son, to cover up sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that through him the world might be saved. Hallelujah. That's the kind of love we're talking about. Whew. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Oh, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, it takes us saying, what would it be to walk in their shoes? Instead of being critical, we don't know what's all going on. We don't know what all is happening in their life. Lord, as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to deal with faults and mistakes. Because, Lord, it's an imperfect flesh. Lord, we want the love, the real love of God, be projected to one another. Be understanding, to be kind. Reach out a hand to help. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, I was putting my shoes on. And I was, Michael was there and he kept getting into things. And I was just trying to make sure he didn't get into anything where he'd get hurt. And I looked and I saw I had a picture sitting back on the shelf there where we were. And it was a picture of my grandfather and grandmother Browning when they was first met, when they were just real young. And they had first just met and got together, and somebody took this picture of them standing there. And Papa had his arms around him. And I looked there. I seen the way my mama looked at that photo, and I said, what a beautiful young lady she was. So beautiful. And then I remembered, you know, she lived to be, what was it, about 84 or something like that. I remembered her last days. Last time I saw her, she didn't know who I was. She's the one that named me. When I was born, she was there. There wasn't no nurse there to help the doctor. It was my mamma helping. When I was born, she gave me the name I got. And I looked the way she looked. What had happened to her flesh? And I looked back at that picture and I thought, they're together now. And they look like that. And I thought, how imperfect this flesh is. And that to me, friends, is a testimony that as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to deal with mistakes. We're going to be dealing with faults. And I'll tell you what, the love of God won't be trying to point out the fault in somebody else. Because we know we got our own. Instead, we'll be loving one another, praying for one another. I want to see such the love of God in this church where there won't be no strife. There won't be no pointing fingers. I want to see such a love of God that we'll get over things in the past that's happened. Get over it. Let it go. Me and my daddy have had differences. We're human. And we... Ever since I've been, actually a young boy, me and my daddy have butted heads. But you know something? If I couldn't go to my daddy's house and go there with real love and want to see him, something wrong with me. I ain't got the kind of love I should have. Anything that's happened in the past, let it go. Don't make somebody have to say, I'm sorry, 50 million times. And don't keep rehashing it and bringing that stuff back up. Let's go on. That's the kind of love we need. Let's go on. Quit pointing at the faults and everything else. And because you know what? None of us is perfect either. That's the kind of love I want to see so much in this church. I want to see love so much in this church where some of the ones we got that ain't serving God will get their life where it needs to be and serve God. The kind of love that'll pull them in. The kind of love that, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kind of love and reach out and help a brother or sister. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I better turn the service over. I'll preach again. Amen. God bless you, Brother Nate. Come on.
think about his love.
As I next Sunday, August the 2nd, we're going to be having a church dinner. Let's be dismissed this time. We'll have Brother Phil to dismiss us.